It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Pick and Roll live stream right here on the Board YouTube channel, the Hammers NBA Content Division. We have a loaded show for you guys today. It is Friday, final show of the week here, but what's great is that with the playoffs having the lines up so early, we have the full opportunity to not only go through tonight's slate of games, but the weekend slate of games as well for NBA free picks. And as a result, Pips has found three free picks to share for today on top of the one that we have already set for tonight that was given out on yesterday's show. So if you're ready to hear the picks, you're ready to go for the show, make sure you do hit the like button and subscribe to the channel. Make sure you're up to date on all the content we have coming your way as the lines start to get sharper. We may not have shows every day through the playoffs, so to know when we are going live, getting subscribed and having that notification bell turned on is of the benefit to yourself. But with that, let's get into the picks that we do have available here. Just going to double check, make sure all of the lines are ready to go and ready to be bet by potentially yourselves. And yes, we are ready to start. So in the first bet, we are going back to the Clippers and Mavericks. We already have the Russell Westbrook play from yesterday's show on the slate, but we're going back to it today to play Ivica Zubac over 11.5 points. That's minus 125 odds at DraftKings. It's also available at ESPN Bet for the same price if it is preferable to yourself to play it over there. The second play that we have is in the Thunder and Pelicans game. It's an SGP available at DraftKings Sportsbook at plus 106 odds. We're putting Herb Jones over 1.5 threes alongside the Oklahoma City Thunder alternate spread at plus 10.5. Just if you're curious, ESPN Bet doesn't give us the same level of alternate spreads as other sportsbooks, so you won't be able to play it there. In our third bet, it is in the Celtics and Heat game. It's going to be, I would say, pretty an interesting correlation for this one we'll hear from Pips, but it's going to be Jason Tatum under 6.5 assists and Jaylen Brown 18 plus points. So expecting Tatum to get shut down, but we'll hear about that one a little bit later on in the show. Let's go back to that first play here and hear about the Ivica Zubac play after his positive start to the series.
Yeah, they are using him a lot. 17 field goal attempts in first game, that's season high. 12 field goal attempts in the game two, that's almost double compared to the season average. So yeah, they are trying to find him. He covered in first game. Kawhi gets back, he covers in the second game. He covered in the second game, even though he missed a bunch of easy ones. He was 5 from 12. This guy is shooting 65% from the field. It's dunks or hooks, both very efficient from him. If he gets the looks, he should cover. If you look on the season, when he's playing with Harden and getting 7-plus field goal attempts, he is getting 17 and 12 in the first two games. So with 7-plus, he's over 18 out of the last 22, both games against the Mavericks, and they don't have anyone to guard him, and they don't want to help off on him, because then you leave Paul George or Kawhi Leonard open, and it's more like they are helping on Kawhi and Paul George, so he gets some easy dump offs to the dunker spot or lobs, and he gets half of his point that way. Other ways like offensive putbacks, because they don't have anyone his size. Like lively for a couple of minutes, but he's playing off the bench. So sometimes they go small. He's still playing out there. Last game he had two fouls in the first 2 minutes. Still was pulled out and still ended up playing 33 minutes with Kawhi back. They want him on the floor. He's the major part of their defense and in protection against Kyrie and Luka. So if he gets 30 plus minutes, he should cover this easily.
Yeah, and as I was saying, he has had a great start to the playoffs. You mentioned it as well. So let's get into our second play. This is in the Thunder and Pelicans game. You're going to Herb Jones over 1.5 threes and the alternate spread for the OKC Thunder at plus 10.5. What do you see for this one?
Yeah, let's first go to the graphics of him shooting. This is the graphic where he's made, but this is from shooting. So yeah, he's scoring 30% of his points from the corners. As you can see, Thunders allow the most corner threes. Like when you combine both sides, they allow the most corner threes and they allow fourth most spot up shots. That's even like a bigger impact in the playoffs because they are sending bodies to CJ McCollum, sending bodies to Valanciunas, sending bodies to Ingram, and Herb Jones mostly wide open in the corners. It's only how many times they pass to him. First game, eight three-point attempts. Second game, in a huge blowout, 7 three-point attempts. So when we look back at the graphics, this graph, back on the graphics, this graph shows when he gets 5 or more three-point attempts in 2024, and he's already slimed in 16 out of the 17. So he will get the volume, he will get the shots up because they leave him wide open, and when he gets the volume, he's crashing this line. That's the part. And believe it or not, in 2024, Herb Jones is shooting 44% from the three. Like, last year we spoke about he's only three shooting away from being, like, great, great guy. Like, he's one of the best defensive players in the league. And now he added 44% from the three in 2024. It's not even a small sample size. So he can shoot. Last game, he shot 4 from 7. First game, he shot 2 from 8. So some comments were, will his shooting translate? It must translate because his threes are wide open from the corners. Like, he's shooting them well the entire season. Not any different coverage against him. So yeah, I think he should get easy over when he gets 6+ threes in a game. In the second part of the bet is Thunder covering double-digit spread. We didn't have luck last couple of times we bet these, but I honestly can't see the way Cal Pelicans win without Zion, double-digit win against much better team, and while they need to play Jonas Valanciunas for big minutes. I just don't see it happening. They can defend with him out there. They can, and when they even made adjustment, Mike Daigneault made better adjustments to it. And I think coaching edge is on the Thunder team. Best player, second best players in this series is on the Thunders. 6, 7, 8 best players probably on the Thunder as well. So yeah, I just think we saw it in the last game. Even though if Pelicans get one win at home, as I predicted, that will be a scrappy win with, like, last possession of the game. That's how I see it. So I'm taking this one together. Herb Jones, I think, is -150 for over 1.5 threes. So I'm just going with this for plus money because I see it that way.
Yeah, you're willing to take that extra bit of risk on the Thunder, you know, not getting blown out here by the Pelicans as the superior team, as the one seed. So makes sense there. Let's go to the third play now. Interesting one here. You're going to be playing Tatum under on his assist, but you're going to be playing the other supposed star in this team over on points. Jaylen Brown, 18+ points. Interesting spot to go with here, but what's your thought process behind it?
Yeah, I spoke it when we spoke about the last game. I actually said it. It's why Miami won, because they stopped over-helping on Jason Tatum. First game, he had 10 assists and 16 potential assists. Second game, same minute, same environment, he had 3 assists on 6 potential assists. Huge difference. And it's not that they only stopped helping on Jason Tatum. They also stopped over-helping on Jaylen Brown, who ended up scoring 33 points. And first game, he had 12 field goal attempts. Second game, he had 23 field goal attempts. So more than, like, double the amount of field goal attempts, because they, okay, we'll put Tyler Hero on you, anyone, like, they are switching something. And we'll stay with our guys, and if you can make the shots, you make the shots. So if they are going to defend Jason Tatum, and also, on the team level, first game, Boston Celtics, 52 potential assists as a team. Second game, 31 potential assists as a team. So Miami just decided, okay, we are not going over help. Let's give Jalen Brown, Porzingis, and Tatum attacking us his single coverage in isolations. Will help a bit if it's needed, but mostly staying with our guys. And that's the way you need to play against Boston Celtics. I never understood in the first game when they just collapsed on Jason Tatum every time he gets the ball. Like, you are preventing him of taking, like, fadeaway mid-range contested and giving away Hauser wide open three, Derek White wide open three, Peyton Pritchard wide open three, Horford wide open three. All the guys that can shoot 40% from three, you are giving them wide open looks from three. You are losing the math. You are giving great shooters great looks, and you are actually preventing Jason Tatum from shooting terrible shots. Like, that didn't make any sense in the game one. Suppose, as he is a great coach, I don't know why he didn't do it in first game, but in second game, great adjustments, good defense, they win the game. I don't see he change anything. Like, this is the way. Like, this is the way. And yeah, I think we will see the same. And makes sense. Jalen Brown single coverage for the entire game. I think he can get 20 plus points here. Jason Tatum, if no one is helping on him, he should go for the big game scoring wise. And it's difficult to cover six assists, especially against Miami great inside defense. If he covered this line, that's because Boston Celtics, they shoot over 50% from three. I don't see it, especially without help. So yeah, this is the logic behind this one.
All right, so there we go. Those are the three plays for today. This is usually the point of the show where we go to the recap of the previous show's plays, but the previous show had a play that is going to be going on tonight. So no recap today. The play from yesterday was Russell Westbrook over 14.5 PRA, minus 125. Best in market right now is 15.5, but it's minus 102 at FanDuel. That's by far the best in market right now, and that's still a decent price to take in relation to the number we got yesterday. But let's shift our focus now to recapping what we saw in yesterday's batch of NBA games. First of all, I would like to talk about one that had a pretty wild, I guess, third and fourth quarter from the Philadelphia 76ers as they beat the New York Knicks in Game 3. Crazy finish to the third quarter. Philadelphia just could not miss, and ultimately they get over the line in this one, win by 11 points. Joel Embiid notably drops 50 points in this one. A lot of which came from the free throw line, which the New York Knicks and Tom Thibodeau had something to say about that. But overall, Pips, what was the difference in the performance here from the 76ers to get over the line and get back in this series?
Yeah, shots were falling for Embiid. He was settling, like, previous game, not as much, but still shots were falling, and that's why they win. On the other side of the court, Knicks had a great game. Like, yep. Shooting-wise, they shot 49% from the field, 43% from the three. Like, that's insane. But when you have Embiid shooting 5 from 7 from the three and shooting 21 free throws in a game, you can't win that game. Like, and getting hurt, and Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein being in foul trouble, that was huge for the team, and they couldn't get. Yeah, how can you defend Joel Embiid without two bigs? We know that that's not possible. And I think this game has a huge, huge, like, superstar treatment we saw from Joel Embiid when he pulled down Mitchell Robinson. 99.5% of players in the league are ejected straight there. Like, that's, and even getting some game suspensions easily, like, without any question. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's what lost them the game. Like, if Embiid is ejected there, Knicks win 3-0, bye. So, pretty unfair, I will say, even though I kind of love Embiid as a player, Maxi especially. I love 76ers, most of the players on their team. And I was, like, hoping they win so we get a good series. But I think that's just a disgrace for the NBA in that part.
That play was so dangerous on Mitchell Robinson. Kind of frustrating. I feel like if it's not a playoff game, he's more likely to get ejected there. But that was crazy, the fact that he only got a flagrant one for that play. But, you know, on the basketball side of things, there was a lot of stuff. I mean, there was even like 2 minutes before he did that to Robinson, he pretty much on purpose ran into Isaiah Hartenstein. That also was bad. But, yeah, then he goes and scores 50 points. He does go to the line a lot. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just say, like, I don't like to talk about non-basketball stuff, but it was just pretty obvious one. Like, any other player, like, maybe LeBron, Embiid, I don't know who is the third one doing this and not being injected. Like, that's in that part. Yeah. Like, yeah. Even someone like Jokic who will never do it, like, but even that spot, I think they will eject him.
Yeah.
He was ejected like four times this season for way less than this.
Yeah. Agreed. On the basketball side of things, though, I do agree. Some of the calls, I'm not really sure how he got them. Like, there was one three he had over Hartenstein where Hartenstein literally stood still and Embiid shot a three, made it. Didn't make it, but he got three free throws off of it, made all three. But a lot of times they do actually foul him. They do foul him on purpose. They prefer to send him to the line rather than allow the shot. So a lot of the fouls are legitimate, but a lot of them are a little bit questionable as well.
I'll say the volume. When you have guys shooting 20 free throws, of course you'll find a couple of ones that are questionable. That goes with the same way with Giannis, with Harden for his entire career, for Luka, for every high free throw shooter. When he shots 20 free throws in a game, you can for sure find 3 out of 15 fouls that are like questionable. But that's always the case. But yeah, Embiid seems like he's probably the best seller out of everyone. Like, he's like legitimately going in to get the foul, not to get a shot up. So yeah, it doesn't look great, but most of the time he's actually fouled.
I agree. Definitely agree to a certain extent. But watching the game yesterday reminded me how much I dislike Joel Embiid because of his antics. Wow. Watching that game, I went in as like, okay, if Philly win, we have a cool series. But as I was watching it, I really wanted Philly to lose that game. But anyways, I digress. Let's move on here. We had the Nuggets and Lakers game. Now, I said earlier on this week that last season, the Lakers got swept by the Nuggets in one of the most competitive sweeps in NBA history. And we might have another one on the cards here because the Lakers kept it competitive, kept it close. In fact, they're up by 10 at the end of the first quarter. But ultimately, they fall by 7 points to the Denver Nuggets and fall to a 3-0 series deficit. Wow. Yeah. Look, it's obviously not technically over, but I think that this series is over. And a big reason why is that you still get LeBron playing well. You still get AD playing well. D'Angelo Russell scores 0 points. Does not show up. 0 of 6. We had a winner on his over in the first quarter of game 2, by the way, on his points. This game, 0 of 7. 0 of 6 from 3. 0 points. Unreal cardio stuff. Pips, this series is over, right?
Yeah. There is no way you can win 4 straight against these Denver Nuggets. That's over. I think everyone knows it. Even like every Lakers player probably knows it's done. Nothing you can do about it with supporting cast not being there. Looking at the regular season, we got tricked with some role players playing above their means. And yeah, the Denver Nuggets know how to play those players. It's easy when, D'Angelo Russell, especially, I don't know if you saw his tweet before the game, like shushing the doubters and saying how he killed in game 2 and can't wait for game 3 and then to score 0 points is one of the historically like embarrassing stuff.
It's insane. Zero points. Like, not even like a free throw or anything. 0 points. You know, he's had a good season, especially second half of the season. He's a notorious non-playoff performer. And 2 out of 3 games in this series, he hasn't shown up straight up. Like, he just hasn't shown up in 2 out of 3 games now. Game 1 and game 3. Game 1 was really bad. Didn't think it'd get any worse, but it did. Like, this is absolute basement level performance that you could get from a player who is, I won't go as far as say pivotal, but very important towards the Lakers' overall success. Like, there's not much LeBron and AD can do here. AD, 33 points, 15 rebounds. LeBron, 26 points, 12 of 20 shooting. Like, there's not really much else you can get from these guys. I struggle to see them showing up for game four.
I missed the last season part where D'Angelo Russell also had a terrible start to a season. And then in January, February, March, and April, like last season, same thing as this season. He shot from January last season to the end of the season, shot 42% from three. Same thing this season. Same collapse in the playoffs. Like, two straight years of the same thing from D'Angelo Russell. So, yeah, this is actually...
Two straight years where he gets played off the floor in the playoffs as well. He couldn't hang in that Nuggets series last year either. Like, the Lakers...
Yeah.
Look, if this Lakers team wants to win a chip, I don't know whether or not LeBron is going to be there next season, but if this Lakers team wants to win a chip, your starting point guard can't not be on the floor against the Denver Nuggets. Like, the reality is you're in the West. If you want to win a championship, you're probably going to have to beat the Denver Nuggets at some point. You can't have a point guard who's not on the floor in the significant moments of that series. So I guess we'll see how they respond there. But, yeah, Daft previews, good point. Lakers couldn't close the door these days. No, every opportunity to win game two, and this one wouldn't matter as much. But, yeah, at 3-0, this series is pretty much over.
I would also say it, like, Lakers are losing 3-0 while Jamal Murray had one good quarter in the entire series. Yeah. Like, every game, for all three games, he shot below 40% from the field, and he's like 5 from 20 from three as well. So, like, underperforming
All three games, like, you can't just say, look, it's the Nuggets. They did their thing. You couldn't beat them. It's not been the case. Lakers had every opportunity to win three games from this series,
yeah,
100%, and yep, could not get over the line. But that's what
actually
the
most consistent player to win. Most consistent player for the Nuggets is actually Michael Porter Jr., so, which is a huge surprise considering what's happening in his private life. We were all questionable before this series, but seems like he is very tough. And yeah, the shots he's taking, like, this dude is insane. Like, he's great. Really good.
Insane week for the Porter family, 100%. But yeah. Michael still doing his thing on court. Gets a good point. Big credit to him. Let's move now to the other series. This series is happening, and my goodness, what the hell happened here? The Orlando Magic absolutely destroyed the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 3. It looked like the Cavaliers were moderately comfortable in Games 1 and 2, but Orlando just absolutely obliterated the Cavaliers in this one. 121-83 in this one. Just a complete demolition job. A good opportunity for Cleveland to rest some guys. However, because they were so bad that they were out of the game by the early stages of the third quarter. But Banchero shows up with 31 points. Jalen Suggs with a monster night, 24 points. Didn't need everything from Wagner here, but just a ton of players chipping in different ways. But Pips, I don't know if you had eyes on this game. How do Cleveland look so off after starting the series so well?
I actually watched the entire game. I watched all three games so far. Maybe outside of the family, I'm probably the only one who watched the entire three games. This was very bad for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But all in all, Magic got the home game. They made the shots. The role players were there. They shot the ball well. Some breakdowns on the Cleveland Cavaliers, which were not expected, but putting a ton of pressure on Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland seems like the good thing. First game, they were like kind of switching and letting them cook. Now they put some pressure on them, and that's it. Like, if you need Evan Mobley to make shots and Max Strus to make shots, I was on this on this show. I think this will be like sixth time I'm saying that Max Strus is not a reliable shooter when it matters. Like, he is great for creating like spacing. Like, he has some value there, but he's not a reliable shot maker. And I don't think he solved anything for this team. I don't think he should be playing this much because he doesn't do anything because he can't make the shots. And I don't know what will Cleveland do for the game three. probably more Levert, which is never a good thing, but I
nope.
Niang in game 1-2, the only time Banchero scored was when he was guarded by Niang. So yeah, this would be a tough decision, who is the fifth guy on the court for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But again, the same thing as the Knicks series, Mobley and Allen together not working well. And we saw like Mobley last game getting benched in the fourth. Now he played only 22 minutes. I mean, it was a huge blowout, but I don't see it. Like, you need to choose one guy. If you need to win in series, I will play Jared Allen more. And shooters against the Orlando Magic. First two games, when they were letting single coverage, you did not need shooters. You can score however you want. Now, when you put the ball outside the hands of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, you need shooters around them. And this game, they were not prepared for it. They got punished. We'll see the game 4.
It's kind of confusing why Orlando wouldn't have implemented that from the get-go. I mean, like, the key to beating this team is try to make Cleveland beat you with shooting. Like, Strus, very good at getting himself open, but he's a very hot and cold shooter. Like, if he's hot, yeah, he'll go like 5 of 5. If he's cold, you'll have a game like this where he goes 0 of 4. But yeah, you want the ball to Mobley in those corner situations. Like, you want to have to get one of those guys off the floor because it just continues to be a problem that Cleveland just doesn't really want to address because it's a difficult decision you have to make. But you know, if teams can exploit, like Mobley went 0-3 here, like happy to let him shoot. Teams are looking to exploit that. And, well, you know,
of course,
Cleveland may have enough to win this series, but this is ugly.
You don't care for Mobley. Like, even if he makes 3 straight threes, you don't care. You're going to let him open and he'll end up 3 from 10. Like, you don't care. But on the Strus part, he's 2 for 14 in the series, which is 14%. And someone will say, like, yeah, variance. No. Last season with Miami Heat in the playoffs, he shot 32%. Season before, he shot 23% on huge volume. Like, this guy is not a great shooter, especially when it matters. I don't see it. Like, remember when we spoke about before the season, during the summer, about trades and stuff. I said, like, I don't trust Strus as a shooter, and it's now the thing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, the best shooter they have is Niang, but that's without any question. Like, that's just straight fact. But
the thing about Niang is, long can you last with him playing? Because he could shoot, but he can't do much else.
They even tried to add Merrill last game. Didn't the defense breakdown after a breakdown. Niang and Marius together, Levert together with them. You will have to, like, no way you can defend without. It's difficult. Like, they kind of solved the problems of shooting, but they got the wrong player for it.
Yeah, it's tough to find shooting with guys who can also play defense. Like, every team wants that, don't they? So, you know, they addressed some of this shooting, but preseason, I wasn't ultimately convinced by that. As I did play their under on the season, which, to be honest, was really good. Other than like a 20 game stretch where they won 18 out of 20, they were really bad. Like, they were really mid to start the year and they were not great to finish the year, but even still, they're 2-1 up in this series. I don't think that either of these teams are formidable opponent. I don't think anybody in the second round is really going to be too scared about playing against each other. Cleveland probably still win this series, but it kind of feels like Orlando may have found something that Cleveland will need to adjust to, but I don't know if coaching in Cleveland is going to have to do it. But still, I'll probably favor Cleveland to still take this series. Of course, they are up 2-1 already. So that will do it for today's show. Plenty of analysis, plenty of picks, plenty of overall content. Hope you guys did enjoy. Hit that like button if you did. Subscribe to the channel as well so you know when we're going live. Update for next week. As the lines are kind of sharpening up, we may not be able to do show every single day. Starting with Monday, Pips is actually going to be away, so we won't have a show on Monday. We should be back Tuesday, though, and from that point on, you can follow us on Twitter, at TheBoardHQ, so we can update you when we're going to be having shows going out. Also, as I said, subscribe and turn notification bells on as well. So, again, May not be daily shows. Definitely won't be one on Monday, but we should be back Tuesday, ready to go for some more content here on the Board YouTube channel. Here are the picks for today, just to recap, if you've not seen them already. First of all, in the Clippers and Mavericks game, alongside the Russell Westbrook play from yesterday's show, which was over 14.5 PRA at minus 125, you could still get that 15.5 minus 102 at FanDuel if you do want it. But for today's play, Ivica Zubac over 11.5 points. That is minus 125 at DraftKings and ESPN and Bet. Second play was in the Thunder and Pelicans game, plus 106 odds at DraftKings for this SGP. Herb Jones over 1.5 threes and the OKC alt spread at 10.5, plus 10.5 that is. And the third play in the Celtics and Heat game, minus 110 at BetMGM for this SGP. Jason Tatum under 6.5 points. Jaylen Brown 18+ points. That'll do it for the week. Thanks so much, everybody. We've had a great start to the playoffs. Hopefully we can keep things going here. Four picks on the way. We'll recap them. We're back on the show next week for more from Pick and Roll. Hopefully we see you there.